welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we are doing two reviews for you, ladies and gentlemen. The first one is Abigail from Paul, and the second one is Rebel Moon 2 Part 2. Sorry, fuck it. It's the Scar Giver. It's the second Rebel Moon one. Okay.
Perfect. Why would we change any of that? Correct. Wayne was too big a wussy girly blouse to go and see Abigail. Even though I think it featured, not in your top 10, but you were like, oh, yeah, that looks pretty good because it came from Radio Silence, who of course did Ready or Not.
Yes, no, I imagine, I actually did expect it would be good, but I was like, it's just too much for this week.
It is a horror thriller film directed by Matt Bettinelli Alpin and Tyler Gillett, a.k.a. Radio Silence, from a screenplay written by Stephen Shields and Gary Busick, and is based on and a reimagining of the 1936 Universal Classic Monsters film Dracula's Daughter. The film stars Alicia Weir as Abigail, Melissa Barrera, Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton, Will Catlett, Kevin Durand, Angus Cloud in his final role, and Giancarlo Esposito. The budget, a paltry $28 million. So not a hugely budgeted one.
Mm.
The box office, though, only after the time of Friday in the North America is $4 million. No idea that it's going to make enough money to get its budget back. Bit of a stretch to think that might hit the $60 million or $55 million or so that it needs to end up being a profitable film for Universal. Speaking of, huge thanks to Universal Pictures and Australia and Evie, of course, for the invite to the event screen because you didn't go, took my brother instead.
Great.
He, who appreciates horror films. Basically, the film follows six criminals who kidnap a rich girl, young girl, 12-year-old girl, and hold her for 24 hours whilst waiting to receive the
ransom
as organized by Giancarlo Esposito's character.
Oh, Gus Fring.
And once they get locked in there, bad shit starts happening because, of course, if you've seen the trailer and you know anything about this film, Abigail is not what she seems to be.
Right. Now, Paul.
Basically, this film, Wayne, honestly, it's Reap.
What?
It is so Reap-like. It is scary.
In that it's shit or in that?
No, the film's pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I mean, solid. It's solid. It would be too big a stretch to say this is amazing. It's pretty long. It's 109 minutes long and it's too long, I want to say. But before I go any further, I should tell you what the bona fide paid critics say.
Hit me.
82% of 130 critics' reviews on Rotten Tomatoes are positive with an average score of 6.9 out of 10. And Metacritic, a little bit harsher, 63 out of 100 based on 33 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. Audiences polled by CinemaScore on the way out gave it an average grade of B on the A+ to F scale. So not bad in terms of these kinds of films. It is basically, it's not scary, this film.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a horror, thriller, comedy. There's some genuine comedy moments, mainly from Kevin Durand's character, who's a big meathead muscle guy of the group.
Yeah. Can I ask you, how does it compare in tone, severity, horror, and comedy to Ready or Not?
Look, the finale of Ready or Not is pretty infamous
for
how over the top it goes.
Yep.
This film is that for the entire final act.
Okay.
So it ups the ante. It takes that, runs with it, and goes further, if I can say.
Yep. To its credit?
Look, it's too long. The biggest knock on this film, it's 109 minutes long. It takes too long to set up the characters. The first act is a crawl because you know what's coming because the trailers have spoiled it for you.
Yeah.
If you had no idea walking in, and so vague spoilers only for here for Abigail. I'm not going to get into the particulars of who dies and who doesn't, but you know that Abigail is a vampire.
Yes.
Right? If that's the whole premise of the film acts like you don't know that for the first.
Yeah, so when they shot it, it's like, who knows what the trailer's going to
be. Yeah, which is, so it's unfortunate they've gone that particular direction. But to quote Evie, who I asked on the way in, what did you think of the film you've seen already, right? She said, yeah, I have it. And she said, it's fun. It's not scary, it's fun. And she's absolutely right. It is fun, this movie. Dan Stevens is a fucking riot in this film. He plays the slimy, asshole-ish guy in the group so well. And remember, we just saw him in Godzilla
X. I was going to say, it's that guy, the blonde guy.
Trapper.
Yeah? Yeah.
Here he is. And it just shows you his range as an actor. He's very, very good.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely is. Alicia Weir as Abigail. Apparently, she's from Matilda the Musical. Couldn't get any further away from that particular role.
Okay.
Which I haven't seen Matilda the Musical. My daughter did watch it quite a few times. So clearly showing her range as well. And Melissa Barrera is the main character. You're following her. She's a bit more sympathetic than the other ne'er-do-wells who have kidnapped this girl. She's fine.
So they're all bad guys.
Yeah, in effect. There's a bunch of people coming together to do a crime, to profit from it, make $7 million each, as we find out through the course of the film. And shit unravels, of course.
And does the fact that they are to their core bad guys, even though there may be nuances that are made...
Melissa Barrera is not portrayed to be a bad person. She's in a bad situation, which is why she needs the money and she's lending her. And she's the one who's protective of the girl.
Right.
So you're more sympathetic to her character than anyone else in the film.
So then are you happy that, you know, if anyone else gets dispatched? Well, they're bad people anyway.
Yeah, so Angus Cloud, he was in Euphoria. I think that's the show. I've never watched it.
I've never watched it.
Apparently quite the talented actor. He plays someone who's incredibly annoying and just such a dickhead. So, yeah.
Okay.
Catherine Newton, who's in lots of stuff, including she was the lead in Freaky, with the one with her and Vince Vaughn switching bodies. Remember that?
I remember of it, hearing of it, yes.
You watched it.
Did
watched
I?
It. I'm sure we covered it for the film. For the,
really?
For the show, sorry.
Yeah, I tend to forget these. All right, go on.
Yeah, she's you know, she's playing this sort of hacker chick and she's not particularly likable either.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't mind it when assholes get taken out, especially. I actually particularly like it as well. It's like, yeah, it's good.
The other part is, and again, not to go into details for spoilers, but the film asks you to buy some twists and turns towards the end that I'm like, well, that doesn't gel.
Okay. All right.
That doesn't work for me at all, that this character would be doing that now and this one would be doing that. So that kind of lost me a little bit, which is why my grade in the end is a recommendation. If you're a horror film fan, you absolutely should see this movie. The gore is spectacular. The practical effects mixed with the special effects are exceptionally, exceptionally impressive. Like, it's really hard to tell where one is practical and one is fake, but clearly it's CGI. There's no way to do some of these things that happen.
Yep.
And that part, I was like, wow, they really, for $28 million, this film looks good. It's largely a one-setting film. We're in the confines of this sort of dilapidated mansion and it's, you know, secret passageways and hidden corridors and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that's one way to keep the budget down. Yep. Obviously keeping the cast very small. Like, there's about 8 speaking roles or 9 speaking roles in this entire film. So another way to keep the budget down. So they've done it really smartly. And these are the guys who just came off making the 2 Scream films and then... After Scream 6 just went, we're out, thanks very much.
Was that the one in the train? No,
yes.
Bus?
Yeah, Scream 6 was the one with
the train. We saw that one,
yep,
right?
We saw them both. Scream, even though it doesn't. That's Scream 5 right. And Scream 6. So they're obviously making names themselves and doing particularly well. Credit to them. Overall, solid horror film. Bit too long, bit too crazy with some of the plot twists. But I had a good time. I would recommend it. So I'd give this one a solid 65.
65, not bad for you, horror film, fine. Did your brother enjoy it?
He did as well, I think.
He did as
well.
He
didn't love it, but I think he was sort of in a very similar camp to myself.
So putting it next to Ready or Not, which is better?
You loved Ready or Not. I think it was in your top 10 films of that particular year.
Yeah.
I think people love that movie. There's more going on in Ready or Not, and it plays with convention and trope in a better way than this.
Right.
But I went into that one with such high expectations and felt a little bit let down. This one I went into with it was like my number 12. Maybe it was my number 10. I can't remember most anticipated film of the year. I think that does sound right. So I did have pretty high expectations. It almost met them. So I'd put them very par-ish with each other.
Okay. And I have one little question for you. And that is, you've mentioned that the trailer gives away, it would be a shame if, you know, it's a shame that the trailer gives away the thing that would
probably
help the movie.
Oh, I mentioned already. Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
so in other words, I've just perpetuated.
No, that's. I mean, what I want to ask you is, like,
but no one's going to see Abigail who doesn't know what it's
that's
about.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's say you were charged with making the trailer for Abigail. Is there any chance you don't mention she's a vampire?
I think there's a way to cut it.
Is there?
Yeah. Where you're seeing gore and people.
You're not quite sure why.
So if we come back to the Reap comparison.
Yes. Keep going.
Right.
Yes.
You're not meant to know really what's going. In our trailer, we cut for it. It's very light on detail. Right.
Yeah.
The film itself is about a bunch of ne'er-do-well criminals who assemble in one location and start being picked off by what they come to believe is this mythical underworld figure called the Reaper. There you go. There's the storyline.
Ladies and gentlemen, in case you're not in...
in case you're not a big fan of the show.
Yeah, Reap is a show, is a film that me and Paul and some other ne'er-do-wells, i.e. our friends, made when we were 23. It was it was before the time of iMovies or anything, which means it was shot on fucking Super VHS.
Yeah, exactly.
It's horrendously bad. It's a crime thriller. It's a joke that we always have.
Yeah.
It is on our countdown movie. The trailer for it is on our countdown YouTube page. If you want to watch it, you will see what we mean.
Yeah, it's terrible, but the idea, I think, has some legs and you could probably make
that
film.
Absolutely.
And make it with real budget and real actors and a real film crew. Well,
would
this,
agree.
And we cut it and shown, I don't know, the Reaper doing this thing. It's almost like that. It's like, it's stupid. But then you're trying to bring people in. So you could have shown some of the gore effects. You could have shown people being... You know, or hinting at them
being
torn to pieces or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, a headless corpse here, there, whatever it is. What is killings? Who's after us? What's going on? And just really left at that level.
Yeah.
But then you wouldn't have called it Abigail.
When the trailer is actually a girl saying,
a girl in a ballerina. And that was the other thing which maybe I should mention I didn't particularly love. The girl, it shows her at the start of the film, she's doing this ballet recital to no one, like, because her father is so rich that he can hire out this entire auditorium stage for her just to do whatever, Swan Lake or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
ballet performance to no one. And then she walks out, gets in the car, goes home. That's where she's kidnapped, and the film goes from there. Throughout the film, while she's dispatching people, she's going into back into these ballet steps just out of amusement for herself.
Okay.
And it just didn't work for
me. Okay. And is it ever explained how she is a vampire?
Yes.
And it is. Okay. Yep. All right.
And some of the lore and whatever else is a bit different than some of the other films. So I'll leave you to enjoy that if you're going to see the film for yourself.
Okay. Yep. All right. Interesting.
So yeah, that's my review of Abigail. See it if you're into these kinds of things. Absolutely do not, my wife, if you're not.
Excellent, excellent.
Over to you then, Wayne, for the Rebel Moon Part 2. Now, do you remember the build-up and buzz for the first one?
Oh, do I, Paul?
Which
do
I can't
I
remember
ever?
The name of what the first one was.
It was just called Rebel Moon.
No, it was Part 1 or something.
Yeah, well, then I don't remember it either.
A Child of Fire.
Okay, good.
There you go.
Now.
So this one, Rebel Moon - Part 2, : The Scar Giver, Wayne. I'll give you the vitals and hand over to you for the rest of this. Of course, directed by Zack Snyder, with screenplay by he, Kurt Johnstad, and Shay Hatton. A story based from Zack Snyder. It stars Sophia Boutella, Jimon Hounsou, Ed Skrein, Mikael Huseman, Duna Bay, Ray Fisher, Staz Nair, and then Anthony Hopkins with the voice. $166 million is the budget, but apparently that's shared with Part 1, : A Child of Fire. 122 minutes long, this one came out on Netflix just 2 days prior to this recording, April 19th, around the world. That's all I'm going to say about this part, Wayne, until you give us the plot synopsis.
Fair enough. Now, okay, here, I'll just read the one for you. Korra and surviving warriors prepared to defend Velt, which is that farming planet that they were on.
Yep.
This is their new home, and they defend it alongside its people against the Realm. The Realm is, now everyone, just so you know, in case you don't, this was Zack Snyder's reported pitch for a Star Wars movie. He went to Lucasfilm. Lucasfilm went, no thanks. Good call. And then he said, well, I'll make my own movie. And he did this. And the bad guys, they're not called the Empire. They're called like the what are they called? The Imperium.
Imperium, okay. Not the Imperials.
Yo. And in the first movie, by the way, it's basically Star Wars, okay? But in a shit way. So, yes.
I don't think we much like that one either. So I think
the first one
was
shithouse. It was shithouse, right? So, yeah. In this one, the warriors face their past, revealing their motivations and yada, yada, yada. And basically, they try and crush the Imperium, which is coming.
They Magnificent Seven it from there.
They Magnificent Seven.
Seven
Samurai big time, okay?
Do you want to hear the reception?
Yeah, let's hear
according
the reception.
To critical Paul. Reviews, 18% of 61 critic reviews are positive. Average score of 3.8 out of 10.
That's about right.
Metacritic gives this an average score of 36 out of 100 based on 21 critic reviews in claim generally unfavorable ones. So I haven't seen it, didn't have time, wasn't going to because I saw Abigail. Wayne, over to you.
Okay.
I think we can tell from the contempt / mirth in your voice, what is The Scar Giver like?
Okay, so anyone who forgot the first one, so everyone. The first movie was about getting the band together, this Korra girl. She's exposition on her. She's got some history with the big bad Imperium. And she's rounding up people scene after scene, getting people.
Yeah.
And they're coming on board with very little resistance for some reason, right? Yeah, we'll help you, you know. This movie is that whole bunch of fighters she rounded up doing their Seven Samurai shit. And they are actually having the fight, okay? Long story short, this film is just as shit as the first one.
Oh, that's a shame. Right? Not a surprise, but a shame.
No, I would say that this might be a notch or two higher because the first one was just this series of him rounding up people, right? With like snippets of exposure which you don't really care about. Now, at least in this one, you don't have any of that because they're already there.
Culminating in a really stupid battle scene where the betrayer is killed of the initial group and the big bad guy seemingly is thrown to his death, falling several kilometers to his death, but yet he's resurrected.
He's resurrected, all right? And by the way, the reason this is called Scar Giver is because they reference a scar that she gave him by stabbing him and then he just calls her the Scar Giver.
Wow.
Like, that is the stupidest fucking name for this.
That's
thing.
A lot of effort going into for a byline.
He's got
just
nothing.
Call it Rebel Moon Part 2.
Exactly. It's like it's so stupid. And I'll tell you this, guys, right? Now we said this probably I'm sure I said this before, but Zack Snyder should just be a cinematographer.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to shooting, there's no shooters like him. I actually don't think anyone's quite on his level.
I think he should write.
Yeah.
I think he can direct.
I don't know, maybe
the performance.
No, I don't think he's a good director either. Insofar as he
Dawn of the Dead was great.
That's the thing. Zack Snyder has three great movies, one of which I haven't seen being Dawn of the Dead. The other two, in order, is Watchmen and 300.
Watchmen, right? Very good. Both written by other people, right?
I believe so. It's definitely Watchmen and probably 300.
Yeah, 300 is a Frank Miller comic.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
In fact, yes, there you go. So he can make those movies really well, right? And Watchmen is a favorite of mine, right?
Yeah. You're higher on IMDb, that's a good film.
Big time. And so he here, now don't get me wrong, he does get in love with the smell of his own farts because...
No, not Zach.
Oh, mate. The slow-mo in this is not only plentiful and overly like used, he uses slow-mo to show people... Cutting wheat,
oh,
Paul.
God.
Harvesting wheat in slow-mo. He's bloating the film by doing that. I'm like, why is that the thing?
I think we made that joke after the first one as well. Had you just run this film at normal speed, it would have been half an hour shorter.
Absolutely. And even in the first one, though, like what he'll do, like there'll be a slow-mo of a dude with big muscles jumping in the air onto a griffin, and that's a big long thing. This is them cutting wheat. Right? And I'm like, okay. The real problem is this, is that his dialogue is shit. Like yeah. It's dog shit, all right? Like, I'll tell you this. I'll go with the good things. Some of the action scenes are all right, okay? Generally good cinematography. That's it, all right? That is it. Because
some of the action scenes are all right. That's the best you can say.
That is as good as I can go because literally, it becomes...
It's what? Like, no!
Well, you know what he can do. So you get that, but it's not as though... It's like, oh, I didn't expect this movie to have all this shit in it. No, you did because you saw the first one. So now it doesn't mean that much. And it has grand overtures in terms of ideas, but none of it translates into the movie because it seems like it's overly convoluted, but at the same time, paper thin. Okay? So one in particular thing...
Not a good combination.
There's one scene, and I swear to God, this happens in the movie, all right? There's a scene before the big battle where each of these seven heroes... take it in turn to just tell their backstory. And it flashes back to their backstory. Then it goes to the next person.
So we find out why that guy's a prince.
Yes. Right?
Okay.
Finally. Like, this scene goes for what? I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. Because it's just them going, well, the reason I'm here is because I did this thing. And then flashback. And then the next person, so well, the reason I want to do...
Not even woven in well.
It's not. And also, this is way too late for us to hear all this shit. We should have... If you're going to introduce people, do it in the first one. This is weird for them to put it in there. And like the only semi-entertaining thing about this film is the shooting. And even that wears upon you. The hero spends a lot of her time crying for some reason. And this is really interesting. Cora is kind of an idiot in this movie.
Oh, dear.
Like she almost makes a deal with the bad guy who's clearly going to fucking like, you know, double cross her. And a lot of the times you're sitting there going, in the main battle, you're like, hey, character, are you going to do something? And you're switching between that. And then when another character finally does do something, you're like, where the fuck were you 30 minutes ago? Like, it's exceedingly dumb.
Whoops.
Yeah. And
throwing literally.
Yeah, my phone on the floor.
Phone on the floor in disgust.
Yeah, but let's just put it this way. Lucasfilm were completely right to reject this. Literally, if this was pitched to you, you'd go, this would have done more damage to the Star Wars franchise than the last trilogy. Like, no doubt, boo.
Wow.
Like, forget about it. So...
So if you had a choice then, Wayne, if I can ask,
yeah,
between rewatching the last trilogy and rewatching Rebel Moon, films.
The last trilogy.
Easily? Three times over?
Big time, because you don't care as you're watching this.
Right.
And I actually got disgusted at some of the dialogue. I'm like, this is shit when I hear someone say dumb shit. Like, and I'm like, just don't write, Zach. Just shoot. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's it. Zack Snyder, unfortunately, he said some really great things, but literally three of them in all the movie. Like,
and all those three are pretty early in his career. I think the latest of those would be Watchmen or maybe...
Yeah, I would say
I think
so.
That's right.
I would say
2012
so. Yeah, because
Watchmen?
The
2009, 10, somewhere around there.
Yeah, because the zombie one was his first real movie. Yep. He was doing like...
2004, I want to say.
Yeah, exactly like that. So he was shooting commercials before that. So
what I want to suggest to you is this. Zack Snyder, Department?
I feel like... You had to have gotten to a better place before calling himself De Palma than to De Palma.
Right, so he hasn't had to fall from his higher place.
I don't believe so, but I will say this. If I was his agent, I would say, all right, Zach, here it is. You don't write anymore. I will find you scripts and get you to read them. You can put your stink on them. And, all right, do that for sure, because he's definitely done that with his other movies, right? Like everything else, this is really shit. And the fact that he's going to release two director's cuts of each of these movies.
Yeah, that's just... We've talked about that in our review of the first one. It's clearly Netflix gleefully grabbing for money.
Well, that's what he said. He said, like, you get four movies for the price of two. Right?
No, you don't, because you're still paying and they're hoping people will hang around and subscribe to see those. Now,
I believe that's why they're
getting
the deal.
Snyder stands are going to do that. But still, there is a subset of people that will go, oh, well, fuck, I'll come back. I'll stay on Netflix or I'll come back to it when they release those.
This is the
just release the fucking R-rated ones.
Yeah. And what he said in this interview, he said that, like, okay, well, you've seen the Rebel Moon, you've seen the second one, whatever. The director's versions of that are like, you know the cartoon Heavy Metal?
Yes.
You know that? He said, this is a film version of That's What They'll Feel Like.
You know what? And here's the shitty thing.
What?
I should almost not watch this second one and just wait for that other one to come out and then watch that.
Yep.
And then that would be an interesting comparison between what I thought of the first one and what I think of this second
one. If I were you, I would do that.
Yeah, okay. That's what I will do. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this one. And then I'll maybe will come back and watch the other ones. No, I won't. I'll just wait for that next one.
Yeah, that's right. And that's going to whenever drop. But like, yeah, this is wildly shit. And Zack Snyder says, oh, my movies are always, not Marmite, but whatever the term is where it's...
Absolute.
Divisive. Divisive, that's it. And it's like, no, Zach, they're just mostly shit. Like, they're mostly shit. Like, and this is the thing. It's a shame.
Every side is there now going,
whoa, hold on.
You know what the thing is? I actually quite like him. Like, when I see him talk and stuff, I love the passion he has for DC and for his comics and for his movies.
Sure.
It's just that it's misguided because he doesn't seem to know that it's bad.
But there's a lot of people. I know he's a producer on his own films. I'm pretty sure his wife is a producer too.
So she is.
Maybe there's not enough people to call him up and say, look, enough for the slow-mo, mate.
But usually
Ramp it back.
Yeah, but usually that stuff corrects itself.
Why is this stuff here in this... People read this script and greenlit it. Netflix greenlit $166 million. Didn't they go like, there's no point having all your backstories in one go in 10 minutes at the three-quarter mark of the film?
And that's what I think
these two films.
The deal with Netflix is. It's like, he probably got caught up in that vacuum of, let's just get as much content out there as possible. They obviously had all the money in the world.
I think that's the way it used to be at Netflix. I mean, that running gag.
Now they're a bit austere.
On the now, you know, rest in peace Netflix and Spill show, where it's like, yeah, hey, Netflix, I want to make it, you know, a fart into a film. Here's $20 million.
Absolutely.
They did not say that joke. That's my approximation.
Yeah. No, and I think it is different now because that's when now Netflix is talking about, you know, maybe we got to introduce ads, maybe we're going to bump this, maybe we're going to stop you actually sharing your password. All these things to try
if
and...
they introduce ads, sorry, I'm out.
I'm out already, Paul.
You're off Netflix, okay.
I am. So, it's just that. Like, I think that's how it is. So, I mean...
I'm going to say Prime's bringing his game lately.
Prime is definitely bringing his game lately. I've got Prime. I've still got Prime.
So I started watching Fallout the other night. Interested to see where that goes. It's
So did I.
First episode's very good.
It was really good. Yeah. I think I saw two of them and I'm like, this is fucking... Like, I bet you the game is stylish because I've never seen the game before.
I played a little bit of one of them and just ran out of time / something else came out and I got bored. And it's not the game's fault. I'm sure it was great. I didn't get far enough into it.
No, but like this, because Jonathan, what's his name? Nolan. Right? Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay, this is pretty good. So
right. We're getting away from the topic.
Anyway, sorry.
We might follow up with the Fallout review at some point in the future. But for now, Wayne, then what are you, if there's nothing else, non-spoilery, of course?
29.
Wow.
29. Yeah, it's not worth looking at.
Damn. I'm sure. Did you score? I wonder if you scored the other one lower than that. Because I think I was higher than you were, and I didn't give it much.
Here's the thing, though. Like, but your patience is used up in the first one. So when you see this, and it's the same thing, you're like, now I'm even more pissed off. So that's why that went that way. It is probably slightly more watchable than the first movie, but not. It's not more enjoyable.
Overall, you've had 4 hours and change to bring something here, Zach, and unfortunately, it sounds like you brought. Not much game.
I shook my head too many times to give it anything but a really bad score.
Yeah, sure. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it. I'm not disputing it at all. Certainly, your score reflects what we're hearing on the
It's wildly
the major
bad.
Critics as well.
Wildly bad.
There you are. That's our reviews for Abigail and Rebel Moon Part 2. I won't even bother with the rest of the title because it's stupid. What did you think? If you've seen either one of those, let us know via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on X at @thecountdownPC. You can like and follow the show on Podbean where we host. Check out the Facebook list community links in the show notes and our website. Of course, thecountdownpodcast.com for links to everything else, including our Patreon. How's that for getting it all in one breath or close to?
Well done, old man.
Thank you so much for joining us again today. My name's Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
If you think we want to see more Rebel Moon than what we've already got, Zack Snyder, we'll catch you next time. See ya.